Whoever was following Galen, he was good, very good. But Galen had options. The hunted always has options, and Galen's futures span out as simply as the different men he'd been over the last 680 years. Different men, different choices, different futures, splitting. As a young man, the man he'd been born, as Prince Achelous Thorn, he identified a choke point that even a careful pursuer would have to pass through, lest he lose his quarry. Achelous hid behind the first good corner and waited. He gathered his talent, ready to overwhelm his pursuer, capture him, hit him a few times to find out who had sent him. He waited. No, no, that wasn't true. Prince Achelous hadn't even had that much subtlety. Hiding? Achelous? Ha! No, Achelous turned as soon as he became aware of his pursuer, stopped in the open street. I know you're there. Come out. If you want to fight, I'll give it to you. If you want to know where I'm bound, come ask. I am Crown Prince of the Dead Kingdom of Traetel, and I'll not have this mummery. Face me. The spy fled. Achelous heard the skittering of scattering gravel, zeroed in on the sound, and ran in pursuit. His talent lent strength to his muscles. He ran faster. He drew his sword, rounded a corner that was too sharp for the speed he was running. He leapt, pushed off a wall, blasted the spy off his feet. The man tumbled head over heels, lay still. Achelous approached the spy. The little man lay on his back, hooded and cloaked. At the last second, the spy convulsed. Two daggers flew through the air, straight for Achelous. With preternatural speed, Achelous's blade swatted left, right, riposte. The daggers were batted aside, and his sword was in the spy's heart before he had a second thought. And he learned nothing. Not that Achelous had ever had second thoughts. Not that he would doubt his own actions. No, Achelous had been a noble fool. His way would be a disaster. Rejected. Divirahaman Brumaziwakazari would have... No, the Amori Stalker was a canny hunter, but he would have never come into a city. His leather pouches and camouflage cloaks had been perfect for his natural environs, but here clothes mattered in a different way. Rejected. Rebus Nimble. There was a life that might have had some success here. Rebus was a sneak thief turned folk hero for making several hundred pounds of a corrupt king's gold reign in the streets in every market in town simultaneously. Rebus would have headed to the rough side of town, here, the west side, the Warrens. Rebus took a circuitous route, as if careful of being followed, but not aware that he actually was. Spies always like to think they're good. If the spy were simply some lord's or lady's lackey, he'd get nervous and break off his pursuit as Rebus crossed the Vanden Bridge into the Warrens. He didn't. That meant the spy had been sent by someone formidable. Rebus abandoned his apparent caution once he reached the slums, walking quickly, which always made his limp more pronounced. He limped down an alley, took a left, a right, two lefts, followed a street so narrow his outstretched hands could touch both slumping walls to either side, and after 300 paces with no outlet, reached a dead end. Damn it! These weren't the slums of Borami, where he knew every bolt-hole. In fact, he might have just played right into his hunter's hands. He turned. The spy stood there, dual long knives drawn. So, not a spy, an assassin. And two archers, who looked like they knew what they were doing, stood on either side of him.
Rebus Nimble,
the assassin said, lifting his chin toward Rebus's twisted right foot.
Irony.
Older I get, the more I hate irony. But I was young once. I made it up when I started serious body magic. Making your arms and legs longer makes you clumsy as all hell for a while. I was hoping to make the name ironic eventually.
I guess we'll see how that turned out.
Arrows streaked forward, burning holes in the night. More blood, more death, and no more answers. No, Rebus's instincts were all wrong. Besides, in his fine clothes, Galen might get jumped by robbers in the Warrens before he even had a chance to get cornered by an assassin. Rejected. So, Galen, those men you've been are no help to you. What will the dirt farmer turned war hero do? Who will you be now? Who will you be next? Galen wouldn't let the spy dictate to him. He was done with that. He simply didn't care. Truth was, Galen, the Galen he had envisioned when he discarded his previous life as Tal Draken, the Galen he had been for the last 25 years, was plain and direct. More like a Kalus. Until the end. Now, that Galen was dripping away, like a wax mask exposed to fire. And he wasn't sure who was emerging, or what. He walked to his inn by the most direct route. There was only one good place for an assassin to attack him, if assassin he was. Galen walked through it. No attack. He went straight to his room, bearing a lantern that the sleepy-eyed porter handed him. He opened the door into the darkness of his room, stepped inside, and blew out the lantern. The garish light of the lantern should have spoiled the night vision of any assassin if one waited in his room, and the sudden darkness should leave him blind. But Galen wasn't blind. The shadows had welcomed his eyes since he bonded the Kakari. No one was in his room. His magical seals on the windows remained. He went to bed, not having confronted anyone, not having killed anyone. It was the right move. Patience was a lesson immortality should have taught him long ago. Wisdom is boring. "You're the best I've ever had," Galen said after their fourth round of lovemaking. "I get that a lot," Guinevere said, teasing, but keeping her distance, her professionalism. They lay together in her bedchamber, naked, her head on his chest. Not from men who are 680 years old. He tweaked her nipple in punishment. She laughed, and he joined her. "Someone followed me here," Galen said. "One of your people." A half second of hesitation, a bit of tension in her body against him. A yes. But she didn't try to lie. "He followed you last night, too. I wanted to see if you'd report to anyone that I was trying to hire you."
"Mm-hmm. So what you want me to do is treasonous. And all you know is that I don't have to report daily. Maybe I'm just on a long leash." So he had done the right thing. Killing a servant of the Nine mightn't have been the best way to start in a new city. She traced designs idly on his chest, weighing her words. Finally she said, "You're a risk I'll take. You've heard of wet boys?"
"Magic-using assassins."
"There's only a limited number of them at any one time. No one ever knows how many. But they all swear a magically binding oath of fealty to the Shinga. They can't harm him or take contracts without his approval. Right now, there are only 5 wet boys. I want you to kill 4 of them.
"And the 5th?
"We'll train you. He was the man who followed you last night and today. Ben Rabel."
"Scarred Rabel?"
Galen had heard the name, but not much else. "He's got a few quirks."
"There was only one reason you'd get rid of all the Shinga's assassins, if you were already on the Nine. And after I kill these wet boys, you want me to kill the Nine as well? The Shinga?"
She sat up, and despite his satiety, he couldn't help but look at her body first, then her eyes. "No," she said. "I'm taking care of them in other ways."
"So you become Shinga, and I become a wet boy who hasn't sworn the oath of obedience to you. After using me, won't you find me too dangerous to keep around?"
A pause. "You're a clear thinker, Galen Starfire. I like that. Most men would have expressed some shock at being asked to kill, or some doubt about a woman running the Sokoge. I've known Irenaea Blockway and Ihel Noren. No doubts. So, he said, instead. You'll look into my history, of course, see how I've treated prostitutes who retire, find out how I treated rivals who ended up working for me, see what place malice and vengeance hold in how I rule.
Tell me. He would check too, of course, but he liked to hear it from the woman herself.
Vengeance only when my power is in question, not for personal satisfaction. I don't throw away tools lightly, especially sharp ones. If I send you after 4 wet boys and you kill them all, and you learn the secrets of the 5th, how could I possibly threaten you? I would rather keep you.
A pet?
An ally. A lover, insofar as you don't interfere with my work or who I bed.
You won't ever ask me to take the magical oath?
I don't think I'll need to. She smiled, beautiful.
That's not what I asked, Galen said.
She smiled more broadly, pleased to be matched. I won't ever ask or compel you to take any sort of oath of obedience.
So if I do this, what are you going to give me? Aside from piles of coin and the best love-making of my life, which I take as a given. She smiled again, then said,
A network of spies? Who will find the man you're looking for?
A fist of stone wrapped around Galen's chest. A long moment. He couldn't breathe. Very well, he said finally. Assuming everything is as you've said, I'll check. And you have this scarred Rabel. Meet me at my inn tomorrow night.
She smiled, trailed her fingers down the lines of his abs.
Lower.
One more time? She asked.